Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, we want to turn this evening to John's Gospel and the chapter 5, just for a few verses, please. John's Gospel and the chapter 5 for a few well-known verses. Chapter 5 of John's Gospel and the verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put thee into the pool, but while I am coming another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now we end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his precious word. Let's just bow briefly in a wee word of prayer as we turn now to the scriptures for the few minutes that remain in our meeting. Our gracious loving Father, again we turn to thee in our need this evening. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt now remember us as we turn our attention to the written word of God. Thank thee, our Father, for the liberty that we have to open and read publicly from this book. And loving Father, this evening we look to thee that the thoughts of our minds and the thoughts of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, and that our Father, as we meditate therein this evening, that thou wilt come and bless thy word to each waiting heart. Thank thee, our Father, for the lovely messages and song. And our Father, we ask of thee that thy blessing will attend to them as well. So, Father, close us into thyself now unto the word of God. We'll give to thee the praise, the honour, and all the glory. For we ask these things in the Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Now, the scene that's got before us here in John's Gospel and the chapter 5, it's a very moving scene indeed. I think it would be impossible to read about such an occasion as this and look at the variety of ill folk that are here to not notice that this is indeed something that's very touching and very moving indeed. Here we have a great multitude of people. They're gathered within those five porches there that are adjacent to the pool of Bethesda. Now, it's very interesting to notice that Bethesda, that means the house of mercy. And you know, dear friends, there within the vicinity of the house of mercy, there with all of its porches filled with those in misery, dear friends, they are in need of great mercy, aren't they? This is indeed the house of mercy. This is what the meaning of the word is. And yet, dear friends, here are a great multitude of people, and they are in need of mercy. What a sight this was for the great physician. I want us to try and picture this evening, if we can, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, here tabernacling among men. He's just kept starting out in his public ministry, and here he is now, the great physician himself, and he comes to this scene at the pool of Bethesda. What a sight for the great physician to look upon. You know, to the Lord Jesus, it must have seemed that this old world was one great big hospital. Because as you read through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, you read again and again of how he met those who were afflicted with one disease after another. And dear friends, those who came to him expressing their need, seeking a cure, every one of them without exception, they went away with a touch of the great physician upon them. Now, there was a reason for these people gathering here at the pool of Bethesda. You see, dear friends, it was a common enough occurrence in the days of the prophets. Whenever Judah was in a much healthier state, a much healthier spiritual state, it was common enough for them to have and see miracles of this kind. But here at the Pool of Bethesda, here that we read of in our New Testament scriptures this evening, we're looking at the very last remnants of the good old days that Judea once knew. You see, dear friends, there was only one that was cured upon stepping down into those troubled waters. Friends, can't you see this evening that here is something? These troubled waters, they had a very limited power. But friends, we're here this evening. We're here this evening with a gospel message. Friends, it's limitless. My, we have a gospel to present this evening that's powerful. It can save to the very uttermost all them that will come unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this evening as we turn our attention to this event here that we have in John chapter 5, I want us to notice just very quickly five simple things in it. First of all, I want you to see that the Lord knew all about this man's disability. The Lord knew all about this man's disability. Now, there was much to catch the eye of the Savior here. I think you'll agree with that. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus coming in here? My, as he comes perhaps round a corner there into the view of this pool with all of its five porches, and he witnesses such a multitude of people. Mind you, there was much here to catch his eye. But you know, dear friends, I read here concerning him that in verse 6, look what it says, when Jesus saw him. Here's one particular man here amongst the great multitude, and the eye of the Savior's upon him. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? My dear friends, out of all that multitude that was lying there, here's one soul. One soul, and he singled out for the attention of the Savior's eye. I wonder, dear friend, in this meeting this evening, you may have come in, and maybe you've been coming in for years, and you've been going out perhaps the way you've come in. I wonder, did it ever occur to you this evening that perhaps this is the evening when the Savior's eye is on you particularly? Perhaps he is you singled out in the meeting this evening amongst all of the others for special attention. You know, dear friends, those meetings that I was saved in, there was a night in my experience whenever the eye of the Savior was set on me, and I was singled out in a packed hall. And every word that the preacher uttered seemed to be directly to me. I could say, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And friends, there are those in this meeting this evening, and they can say the very same. Yes, those who are saved this evening, they can say that the Lord Jesus, he sought us when we were wandering as strangers with no thought of him. Yes, there was a moment in all of our experiences, those of us who are saved, and the eye of the Lord was upon us for special attention. We were singled out. But listen, the Lord not only set his eye upon him, but notice now the Lord knew all about him. The Lord knew that he had been in that state for 38 long years. Just imagine. There he is, perhaps coming day after day, perhaps spending endless days beside the pool of Bethesda in the hope of the waters being stirred and getting in. For 38 long years he's been in this state, and yet the Lord knows all about him. But listen, friends, I believe we're looking at someone here who is much more than 38 years of age. It could well be that the man we're looking at here was an aged man. You might say, well, what makes you think that, Ivor? Well, when I go down to verse 14, afterwards Jesus found that man, you see, in the temple, and he said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. My dear friends, is there not perhaps the suggestion there that it was perhaps years of practice in sin that led to the disability this man now has? There could be that possibility. I tend to think that we're looking at someone who's probably an aged person now. But listen, leaving all that aside, the Lord knew all about him now. And listen, friends, in the meeting this evening, every single one of us now, the Lord knows all about us. We can't get away from the eye of God, that all-seeing eye. And dear friend, you who have come and gone from the house of God perhaps for years, listen, the Lord knows the years that you have been a hearer of the word. And I wonder, dear friend, could tonight find you still not a doer of that word? Maybe that's a solemn thing to think about. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you grew up as a young boy or a young girl. You had a godly Sunday school teacher, a godly father and mother that taught you the ways of God. And tonight, here you are. You're still only a hearer of the word. And you're still not a doer of the word. Oh, it's great to see you in the meeting. And I know the brethren here are thankful to see you come, and they would encourage you to come. But listen, dear friend, take it kindly tonight, coming and going from this place. Listen, he'll never take you to heaven now. He'll never take you to heaven. You'll have to become a doer of the word. What does the word bid you do? Repent and believe the gospel. That's what you'll have to do now. You're ever going to walk the streets of gold. So the Lord knew all about this man's disability. But the Lord knew something else here. The Lord knew all about his disappointments. The Lord knew all about his disappointments. You know, many a time this dear man had tried to get into those troubled waters. Why, those troubled waters had been troubled again and again and again. And you know, many a time that dear creature had tried to get into the waters, only for someone else to step in just before him. Friends, can you just imagine the disappointment of that for this dear soul? There he is lying on that wee couch or a mat or whatever it was at the side of the pool. My, as soon as those waters were troubled, my, he tries to get in, and he wants to be in, for he knows that whoever's first in is the only one that's going to be cured. My, just as he's almost there, listen, somebody else steps in. Oh, friend, can you imagine what this disappointment must have been? Imagine the disappointment of trying to wrestle his way back to that old couch or mat there and sit down, waiting for the waters to be troubled again, if ever they would be troubled again. You know, dear friends, you could be here tonight and maybe you have met with a lot of disappointments along the road of life. My, it could be tonight that you're here. Maybe you can look back to days whenever you chummed about with others and got saved. And there was the parting of the ways. Maybe you were at Sunday school with those and you remember them getting saved. You remember this one, that one, and another one getting saved in gospel missions. And in a way, you were perhaps disappointed. But even more, maybe you're here tonight and you've been disappointed again and again because of false professions. Mind you, false professions have done an awful damage to the work of God. And maybe you're here tonight and you've been disappointed because of some of the things that professing Christians maybe have done. And you're disappointed. And it has disappointed you. Listen, friend, tonight, I want to encourage you. The Lord knows all about your disappointments. Now, if you fall into any of those categories, you know what the Lord's advice to you tonight would be. Come you this very night, put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved for time and eternity. And listen, friend, if you do, you'll prove that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to you if you will believe tonight, and you'll be made a new creature in Christ. And listen, dear friend, you can show those that are disappointing you just how to live for the Lord now. Because remember, a day is coming when every one of us as individuals will give account of who? Their neighbours, their friends? No. They'll give account of themselves to God. Listen, friend, put yourself first tonight. Get your eyes of others now. The Lord knows all about your disappointments. The Lord knew about this man's disabilities. He knew about his disappointments. But listen, we better move on. The Lord aroused the man's desire. Now that was important. The Lord aroused this man's desire. Look at what the Lord said to him there in verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? My dear friend, the Lord aroused this man's desire with that statement. Now, why were all these people that were unwell, why were they all gathered around this pool, assembling in these covered-in porches? Why were they there? My dear friend, they were there because they wanted to be healed. Why, the very fact that they were there, surely it tells everybody as they look on them, that's why they're there. What do you think the Lord's saying? I think the Lord's speaking very, very plainly here to this dear man. You know, dear friends, I think the Lord's saying in everyday language here in Northern Ireland, he's just simply saying to you, look, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What have you come here for? I think that's what he's saying, just in plain, simple terms. Now, I tell you, that was plain speaking, but listen, it focused the man's mind. It focused the man's mind as never before. Ah, oh, listen, friend, tonight I don't want to be unkind to you. I wouldn't be. Have you ever stopped to think why you come and go from the house of God now? Why do you come and go from the house of God? Ah, yes, perhaps years ago you came with the hope of finding God's salvation and being saved. For after all, on the streets of heaven, all men hope to walk one day. Here you are tonight. Are you still here tonight in the hope of finding God's salvation and coming into the joy of it? Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, oh preacher, you don't know the companions I have, you don't know the friends I have. Listen, my dear friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you'll come to the point where your mind's focused entirely on being saved yourself and escaping the damnation of hell. And friends, the anguish of your heart will come to this. My old companions, fare ye well. I'll not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight? And that's the desire of your heart. Yes, the Lord aroused his desire. Now, the Lord wasn't satisfied that this man was beside a pool. There's not a word about that. The Lord wasn't satisfied that he's beside a pool. No. The Lord wanted to raise this man's desire. You know, friends, coming and going from the house of God, it's just like those doors there that open and close, that swing about on those hinges. That's what happens. It's just the same thing. Wilt thou be made whole? This man couldn't make himself whole. But listen, he could have the will and the wish to be made perfectly whole. Oh, that the Lord tonight by his Spirit would effectually deal with your heart to that extent, that on the very seat where you sit, your burning desire and your uppermost desire would be, oh, that I could come to know this very night my sins forgiven. The Lord wants to arouse your desire as he did with this man here. You see, he wants to make your will pliable. Your will must to God be given, and you must trust in his redeeming blood. But listen, friends, the Lord heard the man's complaint. He wanted to arouse his desire, but the Lord heard the man's complaint. Listen what the man said back to him. He says, "Sir, I am no man." He had nobody to help him to get down to the pool. You know, I believe that it's very possible that some around this pool had kind friends who took it in turns to watch for the stirring of the water and get their friend, their disabled friend, down into the pool. I believe others had those friends. But look at this soul. I believe that's why the Lord's eyes fixed on him particularly. You see, dear friends, here's a man, and it would appear to me that he had lost all his friends. Aye, 38 years. For 38 years, my, they had been waiting for too long. It was too much for them. They'd given up hope of never being into the water. You know, dear friends, tonight, all of us, there are those tonight, and they're in need of a little help. There are those tonight, and they would need perhaps a little help from a Christian friend. And that Christian friend could just be the key to unlocking that prison cell and setting some poor captive free. It may be tonight that even in this meeting that there's someone, and you could bear some needy soul down to the water of life itself and see them come to the Saviour. Ah, listen, friends, won't we be speaking this morning about close communion with the Lord in quiet place if we're going to be of use in the valleys of life? I wonder, could any of us tonight lead some poor soul to the Saviour, bearing them down to the living water of life itself, bringing them into contact with our blessed Saviour? Yes, the Lord knew all about this man's complaint. But lastly, the Lord met the man's need entirely. He met the man's need entirely. You know, dear friends, the power to make this poor soul whole was in the Christ who stood before him. There's the Lord Jesus, commissioned of God, there to save sinners and help the helpless. My dear friends, here's this poor man. As you read down that little narrative, you'll notice that this poor man never asked anything of the Saviour. Did you notice that in the reading of it? He never asked the Saviour anything. You know, his look and his helplessness, it said it all. Maybe you're here tonight, dear friend. Do you realize that you're without God, without Christ, without hope? You're in need of God's salvation according to the Word of God. My dear friend, tonight, listen. The Lord did far more for this man than this man could ever have thought of. You see, with the command of the Lord Jesus to rise, take up his bed and walk, listen, that man willed to act on the command of Christ, and the miracle was complete. You see why the Lord wanted to arouse the man's desire now. Friends, as this meeting now draws to a close, the simple gospel message is this: let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Rest on his unchanging word. Friends, that's the gospel in a nutshell. God's word declares to one and all that all of us have sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We're like the man at the pool here. We're hopeless. We're helpless. There's no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, dear friends, listen. So many tonight, they think they're bidding fair for heaven by doing the best they can. Listen, friends, it'll not work. They're looking in the wrong place. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we may be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, tonight, the meeting's over. I must direct you to Calvary's cross. Dear friends, there at Calvary's cross where the Savior died, there's a door that's open. You can go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin if you'll only come as a sinner to Jesus. Listen now. Do you see your need tonight now? Do you see yourself as a sinner? A lost sinner. Hopeless. Helpless. Like the man at the pool. Listen, friend. If you get to that point tonight, I would direct you to look to Christ. There's life for a look at Him tonight. And if you could only get to the bottom of that old foot, the foot of that old rugged cross by faith tonight, take a look up. My, the very look of a needy, lost sinner. It's enough. And the one who died there, if you'd call upon Him, He'll save you. Not just for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Oh, may the Lord draw you to Calvary tonight in repentance, that you may turn from your sin, come and trust the Savior, go away with the assurance that your sins are gone and your fears are over. And from this point onward, you'll fear God's presence no more. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Maybe in closing, we could take time for the words of 293. 293, and in the words that we're singing tonight, well, we have the gospel wrapped up in these words. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light. The way of the cross I miss. I must needs go on the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod, if I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God. Look at the last verse. Dear sinner friend, if you're here tonight, listen to the last verse. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world. Are you prepared for that tonight now? That's what repentance is. It's a turning of your back on sin and sinful ways, turning to Christ to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door.